You want to go ahead and talk? Say, you're listening to the Word Bros Podcast.
No.
Do it.
No.
Do it. Say, you're listening to the Word Bros Podcast. Do it. You're listening to the Word Bros Podcast. TheWordBros.com.
Hey, welcome to Word Bros. I'm Kevin.
I'm Bob.
And today on Word Bros, we have Dave Scheit and Scoot McMahon, who have created this awesome all-ages book from Lion Forge called Wrapped Up.
Wrapped Up, baby. It comes out in, what, October? They are soliciting now in previews. Do yourself a favor. If you want to get a really great all-ages book for you, your kids, your cousin too, baby, you should pick this one up.
It's entertainment for the whole family.
It's a quality book, man. And Dave and Scoot are really nice guys. I've met them separately because I met Scoot at Dayton last year, and I met Dave in Ann Arbor. Very nice dudes. They just get it, man. They kind of get what all ages books should be about. Really nice cats. And it's just good to have them on, man. I really appreciate talking to other people that make all ages books. It's fun. It's fun to talk turkey, if you will.
Talk shop, if you will.
Exactly.
Because they are both fans of Monty the Dinosaur, which, as everybody knows who listens to the podcast, that is Bob's book.
Oh, stop it.
And it's amazing.
Monty, you know what? I'm very proud of what I was able to do with that book. I think it's really great. I would like to do more. Unfortunately, I'm not really in control of that situation. I would love to work with Gene again because I think Gene is just a goddamn genius. Like, that guy can – I mean, he's really great at what he does. And that's the thing, like, and I think Dave and Scoot kind of get that too. Like, when you're creating something, writer and artist kind of have to be in tune together to create something wonderful. And I think they have that here with Wrapped Up. It's just a really great looking book, man. I'm really proud. I'm really happy for them.
It's something we've touched on since the beginning of this podcast. We said we want to do a podcast about writing comics and making comics and being fans of comics, and other things as well. And that's one of the things we've talked about is being good collaborators. So yes, that's one of the things that you have to do is be a good collaborator. And we hear from these two guys about how to collaborate on all ages comic. That's just awesome. So without further ado, here's Dave Scheit and Scoot McMahon about Wrapped Up.
All right. So wait a minute. So you're saying your webcam, like your computer, is covered up by a sticker?
Yeah, the government, man. Don't you know?
I'm recording already. So now the whole internet knows you're a maniac.
The government, man. The government.
Now,
Dave, do you have a tinfoil hat, bro?
I should.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's smart.
I mean, they can't read your thoughts that way, and they can't see you.
Yeah, I need to be careful.
So early on, this interview just started, and we've already learned that Dave. Hey, Scoot, what's up? We just learned that Dave's a crazy machine. He's got his internet webcam covered up because he doesn't want the internet and the government reading his thoughts. That's awesome. Yeah.
It's great.
Hang on, let me cover up mine too for the duration. Hang on, there you go. That's better.
Yeah, that makes me feel more comfortable. All right.
That's just my thumb, though. My arm's gonna get tired after a while.
I'll just cover mine with beard. How about that?
Yeah, that's what's covering Dave's. It's just his beard.
His awesome beard. Now yeah. I feel bad because we're recording this podcast. I'm downstairs in my quote unquote office. That's just my basement. Kevin's hanging out. I have no idea what Dave's doing because his camera's covered up by a sticker.
He's naked in front of the computer with a tinfoil hat on.
But Scoot, awesome. Scoot, you look like you're at like an insurance agency or something. It's very professional looking. Is
That's
that how
my office? Yeah.
Is this how you? Is this how,
up back there?
Is this how you work all the time so professionally?
There's a Nintendo.
there they are. Look at them. That's nice, awesome. Man. I dig it.
That's where I work.
That's cool. We are talking to Dave. Dave, how do you pronounce your last name, buddy?
Scheit.
Dave Scheit.
Yes.
And Scoot. Scoot, how do you pronounce your last name, just to make sure?
McMahon, like Scoot. Vince McMahon.
Okay, so we're talking to Dave and Scoot. They have a new book coming out from Lion Forge Comic called Wrapped Up. I got the PDFs of it today. I read the first issue. I read the first the Halloween issue and then the first issue. Good stuff, man. You guys have got something really great here, man. Congratulations.
Thank you. Cool. Thank you for checking it out.
Of course, dude. I'm really excited about it. I know both of your work separately from your All Yeah Comics stuff because my daughter upstairs is a huge All Yeah Comics fan, so I've read your stuff separately, but your powers combined, it's pretty impressive.
That's how we met. We met at All Yeah Comics in Skokie at one of their, I think it was like a Dark Horse party they had there. And that's when Dave and I met, when the itty bitty Hellboy thing was launching for those guys.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool. And then you guys met and you just had an instant connection and you said, we must combine our comic forces to make something the world that likes have never been seen.
Yeah.
Well, that's what's cool about the All Yeah thing, because a lot of us kind of just got teamed up just kind of out of like necessity, just needing someone to, you know, write stories or draw stories or whatever. So the All Yeah thing, at least for like Scoot and I and a couple of our friends, really, like, I don't know, just helped us out like creatively, just because it is, you know, their own community. So we met like a lot of cool people through there, and a lot of cool books have come from All Yeah that aren't All Yeah books, and it's like, just, I don't know, a really important part of my life, I think.
That's awesome. Well, I mean, the All Yeah stuff itself, I mean, whether it's the Tiny Titans stuff or just their own line of books, they're just fantastic. And when you get the anthologies, I mean, there are so many creators that are involved in that thing, and it's cool because all of you All Yeah Comics guys, you all have the same kind of, I guess, thought process about making comics and about making all ages comics. Mm-hmm. So it's really nice to see that kind of collective.
Yeah. It's just like being a fan of Art and Franco, just to begin with, like for years and years and years, like getting to play in their, you know, in their universe and hang out with them and spend time with them and work on their books is like, it's really good just because those guys are like the funniest dudes I've ever met. So like, I don't know. And they do really great comics. So it's like really, really cool. Like, being asked to be a part of that.
Yeah. That's awesome. They I met them at like different shows in Chicago, and I used to bring a portfolio to all these shows, you know, an artist portfolio. And the best thing I started doing was just giving it to like other creators, hoping for a situation like All Yeah Comics, where there's guys starting their own comic company and then they needed artists. So they remembered me because I gave them little books of my stuff. And we had a mutual friend, Art and I did. So that was like a connection we were able to make right off the bat. And that was like the way to like, you know, break the ice or whatever. Because I get people talking to them all the time, you know, as I'm sure everyone does now when we do these shows. So,
but I think it's just so weird that like how well your style and just like your personality fits with those guys. It's almost like, I don't know, like you've known them like all your life. It's really weird how like how well we click together. I think that's part of the reason why their comics are so great. It's just like, I don't know, like the creative chemistry and everything. It's just like we're all just kind of goofy dudes who love cartoons and bad jokes and stuff like that. So
it's almost like a hive mind. Like when you read the All Yeah collection, because my daughter has a couple of them upstairs, it's like you can't even really tell. The stories just kind of seamlessly go into each other. It's almost like it's all written by the same guy because it all just has that same vibe, that same tone. So, I mean, it's very impressive considering the amount of creators and people that are involved in the books.
Yeah, for me, my style was pretty close to Art's anyway, like my natural style. I think you bought the Super Kings, didn't you? Or you have the Super Kings?
I did. We traded. We traded Monty for Super Kings.
That's right. Yeah, Monty's awesome. And you sent me more. So, which we could talk about a little bit later. But my style was so close to theirs anyway that I just tweaked things here and there to kind of make it, you know, fit the universe. Like, I think I removed the little girl's nose because Art draws the Tiny Titans. They don't have noses. So I just do little things like that. So then it all feels like it's part of the same universe. Now I do other stuff. I think I have a book out right now called The Phantom Hero that isn't All Yeah comic style, but it's still cartoony. It's more like Bruce Timm style than it is like Art Baltazar style. So,
oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, that is fantastic. Now, if I wanted to pick something like that up, where could I get that?
Oh, well, right now I don't have it for sale. My store's down, but
great work.
Yeah, I'll be at, you can just like people like you can contact me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. I'm available on all those things, and then I do a lot of shows. Like I'm doing Cincinnati Comic Expo coming up the 22nd of September, this next week, and then New York Comic Con. I'll be there. Dave and I will be at both of those. So,
well, that'll be the big wrapped up release, right? Yeah. Right around there.
I hope so. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the plan. We're launching because I think the book comes out like 2 weeks after New York Comic Con, but we're going to have early copies of it at New York Comic Con, I think, doing like signings and stuff. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's it's really weird, man. We've been working on this book for like it seems like forever, and it's just like people are just now getting to read it, and it's like it's been almost like a year, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's where, yeah, I don't know if we're allowed to talk about what issue we're on right now, but we're so far down the road.
Yeah,
that I feel crazy. Like I know these characters so well now from drawing them, and but nobody else knows anything about them because the books haven't been released, so it's weird, yeah.
It's really weird spending just so much time with, like, these characters and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like, and I guess that, I think that helps us just coming up with, like, ideas and jokes and stuff like that, but it is really weird kind of, like, spending that much time. Because I'm so used to, I mean, comics take forever to make anyway, you know, and to be, like, released and published and stuff. But having such a crazy, like, backlog of stuff we have, it's, like, it's, we're super, super excited. It's been coming out, like, really, really great. Like, everyone's doing an awesome job. Like, Scoot is so good.
It's a great-looking book, man. Like, when I got it, I read the, I guess, the Halloween episode first.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just, I really enjoyed it. Like, it hit all the right beats for me because as a parent reading a book thinking, okay, this is something I'm going to want my kid to write. Like, it wasn't low brow. Like, the jokes were good. The jokes hit.
Thank you. I hope so.
You know, because it was, but it walked that line, you know, like, it was really well done. The artwork is great. Like, it's, I think this book is going to be a really big success for you guys and for Lionforge, which is awesome. And this is cool because I think this is their first book released under their Cub House imprint, correct?
Yeah, we're kind of leading the charge, yeah, which is like, we did another interview about this, and they're asking, you know, if we think that's, like, intimidating, if we're, like, worried, or, you know, if it's, like, a scary thought, but it's, like, everyone's just been, like, firing on all cylinders, so it's just, like,
yeah.
I'm more excited than anything for people to see it, because this is, like, I don't know, this is just a book, like, me and Scoot would want to read, you know,
right.
So it's,
yeah.
Like... We're
just kind of, we're in our own bubble right as of right now, because, like I said, no one else has seen it, which in a lot of ways is good because we're still working on it and we've fallen in love with these characters. And like you said, Dave did a good job in that first Halloween issue of setting up like Milo, the main character, Milo the Mummy, and his family. And he did it in a creative way that made sense. It felt natural. It wasn't just like a page of like intros, you know?
Yeah.
So you're already, you know, you get rolling with it and I don't really feel intimidated because I don't know what else is out there in terms mm-hmm. like competing with a book like this, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It's kind of like, I guess it's like Oh Yeah Comics, but it's a little, for a little bit older audience where Oh Yeah, like a 3-year-old can pick up Oh Yeah Comics, but this comic, a 3-year-old can get it, but there's more story going on and conversation going on.
I mean, there was a big booty joke that I read.
Oh yeah.
There's a lot of those coming up. So be ready for all those.
So it's clearly Dave is a buttman.
Yeah.
we're all buttmen. We're all buttmen.
It's true. It's true.
Buttman and Robin.
Now when are we gonna get that you were, sorry. Oh, go ahead, Kevin, go ahead.
I was gonna say, Scoot, you said you were down the line a little bit, so how far ahead are you guys and how does your process work in doing the comics? Like how does it work for you guys? What does the process look like?
It's just it's like Dave writes these scripts and they get approved. That's pretty simple. They're just like, but Lionforge is really into it. So I think that's the one benefit we have, maybe because I've worked on my own stuff before and I give myself deadlines and you kind of set them up. But with this, it's like the deadlines are really tight in the beginning. Like the deadlines were like a month. Like I had a month to draw the book like you would if it was a monthly comic, but it's like a year out. So we stuck to those deadlines. So I think that's how we got so far ahead, is because we stuck with the, what they set up for us. So
yeah. Now, as the artist, do you contribute to the script too, or is that all Dave?
It's all Dave. I mean, we talk about ideas. Like, that's what's cool about working with Dave, is he'll like ask me, like, I think like 4 or 5 issues ago, he's like, all right, we got like 5 issues done. Like, what else do you want to draw? And I'm like, I don't know. Milo's dad's pretty cool. I haven't drawn him in a while. I want to write a story with him. Yeah. And then we just talk back and forth about like, well, what do you want him to do? And I'm like, I don't know. What do you think? And then Dave writes it. He like does all the writing, but like he does pick my brain for like, you know, like, which I appreciate, like, to draw. Cause like I tell him all the time, like, I don't want to draw like Transformers or big robots, because in the cartoony style, it would be, I would feel like it's too much detail. So like, I don't draw anything. I don't ask him not to put too many cars and stuff like that in there. Let's make it more organic and fun, which he does. So.
I think like we work together well is because I think like any important like comic collaboration, there's like a trust to it, you know? So I think like me and Scoot, I think humor wise are on the same sort of wavelength as far as like stuff that makes us laugh and stuff we like to draw and watch. So I think there's a lot of like I'm writing this story for Scoot. Like I know the stuff that's in here he's going to like. Right. And I think that, I mean, hopefully comes across, you know?
Yeah.
But no, it's all about just kind of like trust and just like us kind of like goofing around and like knowing what we're both into and like what we could bring to the table, I think. So I think there's a lot of trust to it, I think, but it works. Yeah. I think it works well.
Dave's threatened my family, so
I can't really go into much more detail.
We went there already.
I didn't think I thought it was going to take some time to get to threaten. Well,
now the tinfoil hat and the covert location makes way more sense.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this is how it started. This is why he's drawing the book is because I'm blackmailing Scoot. So
I do whatever. I mean, you know, whatever you can do to get people to work with you.
Yeah. No, it is. Yeah, 100%. Yeah,
you do what you got to do, man. This is the cutthroat industry, and sometimes you got to snatch a kid to get stuff done.
Yeah, no, you got to do what you got to do. Legally, I can't say what happened or if anything happened, but I mean, hey, I got a good artist drawing.
Great art. I just want to hear Scoot's Mel Gibson, give me back my son.
Yeah.
That's why I write like with my pen like this, because Dave's crippled my hand. My fingers are all mangled now. I can't hold anything.
Yeah, I got an email from Scoot, and he's like, why did page 18 have 6 panels on it? Give me a break, like something. Like, sorry, dude. Like, sometimes that happens. I'm sorry.
No, but that's the first thing I do when he sends a script is I skim, and I see like how many panels per page, because the one cool thing about Dave gets it anyway, but the one cool thing about All Yeah Comics, when you look at Art Franco's book and Bob, you know, because I read your Monty book, is for kids' books, you don't want to jam like 9 panels into a page, you know? So like you want to keep like a max of maybe like 6 or something on there. So the first thing I always do is I read through and I make sure there's like, you know, no more than 6, because then, you know, everything starts getting cramped, like the word balloons get crammed in there and stuff. And the more breathing room you give, that those are the pages like the littler kids are going to want to stare at and try to draw, you know? So I always tease Dave when I get to the end. It's like, oh man, this is good. Like, okay, 3 panels, 5 panels, 4. And then the last page is usually like 6, because he has to like put everything in.
No, I think our sweet spot's probably like 4 to 5 panels. And I think like Scoot said, it is important. Like, Not saying that like kids are dumb, but it's just like their attention span and like following panel layout. Like you'll see a lot of comics that are aimed towards kids and they have really crazy weird panel layouts that are like even for adults hard to follow.
Yes.
And we want it to be a book that's like, you know, as much as it's all ages, we want it to also be like for everyone and to be able to pick up, you know. Yeah. And I think a lot of our audience, at least with like All Yeah Comic stuff and the other books we've done, like some people, this will be like their first comic. This will be a kid's first comic, or like, you know, my aunt's first comic that she's ever read or something, you know? So it's like important to kind of like, you know, have a really nice flow and rhythm to like the pacing and stuff. And I think Scoot handles like Scoot's sweet spots, like 4 to 5 panels, I think. And your stuff's really good.
Yeah, so see, thanks for throwing 6 panels in there at the end.
I mean, like, guys, I don't want you breaking up word, bros, dude. That would be completely unnecessary. But Dave makes a great point, because, you know, my mother-in-law, who is another grandson who's about 3 years old, she gave him a copy of Monty, and her complaint was at points, I can't follow it because I've never read comics. And it's like, dude, if you can't follow this, you've got no shot reading comics. Yeah. Just give it up. But for an early reader, you kind of have to make it as simple as possible.
Oh, yeah. Layout, yeah. You know?
Yeah, that's one of the things I liked about Monty, was the pacing was like on point, because I read a lot of kids' comics where I'm like, yeah, this is off. Like something's off here. But Monty flowed really well. And I think I gave the first copy you gave me, I gave it to one of my cousin's kids. And I think they still have it. They love it. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, it's nice. I love it. I mean, I love it, and so that's
well. Yeah. I mean, of course, you wrote it.
But I mean, part of it when I was talking to my artist was also like, I was heavily influenced by that Aw Yeah comic style because it's just so inviting. Like, it's just so warm and fun. And like, that's just the vibe that you want all ages books to have. I really think they've done a great job cornering the market with that look, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that comes across when you're like, I think creatively, like having fun with something, you know, like that, like, especially in comics. Because almost right away you could tell if, like, I don't know, like, if something's being dumbed down for kids or something that's, like, you know, a 30-year-old dude trying to be like, okay, what do you think a 9-year-old kid would like in this story? It's like, you can't think that way, you know? Like, you kind of got to have that sort of in the back of your head, but you still have to just, like, have fun with it, you know? Yes. And it should be, like, sincere. And I think, like, that's something like we really, really strive for Wrapped Up, I think. And I think that's why it's been like, I mean, it's probably hard for people who draw the book, but for me to like write it, it's been like really just like fun and easy. And just like, it's just really, really great to make. Like, I really enjoy making this book.
And I think you can tell. I mean, it, like I said, I read the first, issue and a half, and I really enjoyed it. I think the jokes work. The art's great. How long, Scoot, did it take you to perfect drawing a pizza? Like, how long of a skill is that? Because the whole first issue is about pizza.
Like, have you seen Scoot draw? Like, he's like one of the fastest people I've ever seen. Like, I've his seen stuff him, is so tight and fast. It's crazy.
I've seen him draw at shows, like doing, because we met, what was it, Gem City?
Gem City, yeah. Gem City.
And I saw you at Gem City and you were just going, dude.
He's a machine. He's crazy. Yeah. It's just, man, yeah. I don't know how you do it.
No, just like, it's weird because like what you were saying about like drawing or writing for kids, when I draw, I'm able to like kind of tap into, if I'm drawing fun stuff, let's say, but I'm able to tap into like that energy and that enthusiasm I had when I was a kid. So I think it comes out fast because that's like, I just like, that's how I'm feeling in the moment, you know? So it's just like, it's like, I associate it with fun. Like when I was a kid, I felt the same way. So I'm just lucky enough to still be able to have that, like that experience. Like I can sit down with a pad of paper and a pen and still feel like, you know, I'm 6 years old again, drawing in front of the TV or something.
And that totally comes across, dude. Kids pick up on that too.
Yeah.
You know, really like seeing, and even I think this is something that like we've learned from Art and Franco. Like if you've been to conventions and you've seen like this, like these like legions of kids getting sketches from Art and Franco and meeting them, Art and Franco are just like, they talk to them like they're people and they're so just like interested, you know? And like their comics are just so on tune with like what these kids want and stuff like that. And just as much as I think with like comics, sincerity comes across. I think just like when Scoot's like drawing funny, weird pictures, you just have this like cool, weird personality, and then like people are into that. And I think that's like so much why your art works well, I think too, is because that's like so much in your line work too, which is like super cool.
Yeah, and I think kids can sniff out bullshit. Like they're really good at it. Like you can tell when a kid is into something, and it's obvious, you know. So
and that's cool. It's important.
One of the panels I teach sometimes at these shows when I do like demos is about, when you make mistakes, you know, don't give up or don't start over. Like, yeah, sure, if I'm trying to draw Batman and I make a mistake, I'm going to start over, but I save that piece of paper because there might be something in there that I can go back to and like turn it into something else. So like I'll have kids draw abstract shapes on a piece of paper, and then I'll turn it into a character, or I'll draw a shape and I'll have them come up and turn it into a character. And it really starts to open up the imagination and the possibilities. Cause as a kid, I used to draw with pen a lot. I didn't even use a pencil when I was little. I used a pen for some reason. That must've just been what we had. So like, I was used to just like, you know, you draw with a pen, you're going to make a mistake, but you just keep rolling with it. And I think that's like, I've seen Art do it before, and Franco, they make mistakes when they're drawing. You just keep going, and then all of a sudden it doesn't look like, you know, you forget all about it. But I've seen other people make a mistake and start getting frustrated and give up and like start over. And so, and it's like, no, you gotta have a clear head. And if you draw like four fingers on accident, oh well, like just keep going. People won't even notice, you know? So and I think that's what, like with pizza, I just draw like just fun shapes and like squiggly lines and like sloppy like cheese and stuff, and it's just fun, you know.
I tell you, that was a good looking pizza though. You drew that quality looking pizza,
really cheesy, you know.
Every issue I feel like has a slice of pizza, at least one slice of pizza in it.
I've been drawing more and more Milo in my lunchtime drawings now since the release of the books coming out, but it'll be interesting to see, like, if I get more likes once the book's out there, because I feel like half the people don't even know, like, because I'm just drawing these characters and no one knows who they are, you know?
When does the book come out?
October 18th, I think, right,
Dave? Issue one is October 18th. And then 2 weeks prior to that, if you're going to New York Comic Con, we'll have issue one early.
What's that diamond code, son? What's that diamond code?
Give me that diamond code.
Oh, man.
You want me to look it up? I'll look it up.
Yeah, you want to look it up. Yeah. I think, and then also, yeah, like, you've already read it, but we have, like, a, was it 10-page or 12-page? 12-page.
10-page. 12, yeah.
We have a 12-page mini comic that's sort of like an issue zero.
That's awesome.
Handed out for Halloween Comics Fest, which is like free comic day for Halloween. Like, yes. Select stores just have mini comics at the handout. And that's really cool. We're like super stoked that, like, you know, Diamond picked us to, you know, release our book, and giving it out for free. Like, stores still have to pay for it, obviously. But we just want people to read our comics. So that's like an awesome opportunity to have, you know, the sample issue.
Well, comics don't rot your teeth either. So
yeah. No, exactly. Yeah.
All right, so I got the diamond code right here. It's August 17, 18, 32 is the diamond code for Wrapped Up Numero Uno.
Awesome.
And if you check the show notes, it'll be in there.
Yeah, I'll put it in the show notes too. I mean, the design's cool. Like, I love the wacky magician guy. I think he's...
Oh, yeah, Wizard, yeah.
Yeah, he's a cool dude. I'm into that. I'm also... call me crazy, but I want to see more of the Explorer stepdad.
Oh, yeah. I'm totally into Milo's dad.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he's pretty much our favorite. Milo's dad is like where we get the most humor. An upcoming issue that we actually just finished. It's cool to see the book kind of like evolve is kind of a dumb word, but as we get more comfortable with the characters, like trying different sort of, I don't know, tropes and different types of stories. We have like an action centric story with like his dad, and we have these like crazy karate fight scenes like mixed in with like really bad dad jokes.
Nice.
And we're really excited about that.
It's fun. It's fun, the stuff that you get excited for when you're doing your own book, you know?
Yeah, no, it was. Yeah, we're really excited about that just because sad dads are funny. We like them.
Yeah, and then the stepdad, we don't do too much. We haven't done too much with him, but he's in there. He's got some funny stuff and some of the future issues. But yeah, I think we have ideas, right, Dave, for like a bigger arc with that guy.
Oh, yeah. Okay. And then he kind of does in, was it issue 5?
Yeah.
He's got some cool scenes.
Listen to this stuff. I will say that Milo's dad does remind me a smidge of a Milhouse's dad from the
city. Oh, yeah.
He's got that, like, sad sack vibe going on, which is just perfect.
Like, everyone else knows that he's, like, this, like, you know, sad, just kind of dorky dude, but he's completely oblivious to it. Yeah. He still thinks he's, like, cool.
Yeah, he goes on some dates and stuff.
Yeah, he goes on dates.
I love the fact that he has a mustache over his wrappings.
Like, they forgot to include it.
Yeah. It's designs, man.
The designs are so smart and fun. Like, it's just a really great looking book. Like, it just jumps off the page at you. So
that's another weird trust thing, I think. Yeah. I never really gave Scoot, you know, like, hey, this is what this person looks like, blah, blah, blah. We kind of just like, Scoot was just kind of scribbled some stuff up and, hey, this is good, and they've like turned out so funny, and they haven't really changed either. Like, pretty much the character models are pretty much the same when you just initially design them or whatever.
Yeah, that's due to a lot to Lionforge just trusting us and telling us like, hey, don't go, you know, like they didn't tell me to go back in and like change anything really. They just like,
yeah,
here's what the dad looks like. Okay, cool. Yeah, that's funny. And they're just like, they don't tell you. Yeah, so it's really easy to work with them on this stuff.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Now, do you guys find that it's harder doing all age comics? Because we've heard that that's a harder sell to companies. So I was just wondering if that's something that you guys have experienced or like what your journey was getting to this point with Lionforge to where, you know, they let you do this kind of stuff if it's not the norm, quote unquote, in comics, because you guys just followed your own path. And that takes a lot of guts to do that in the first place. So
yeah, I think just at least like creatively, like me and Scoot for years have always done these types of books, but thankfully we're in a really awesome time where this stuff is like huge, you know, like Raina Tugmeier, she's had three graphic novels on the New York Times bestseller list consecutively.
They had to change the bestseller list like the way they did it because she was just dominating.
So it's one of these things where this market that's always been there, and these readers have always wanted cool stuff. It's almost just like companies are finally paying attention, you know? Mm-hmm. So Wrapped Up was weird because we kind of we talked to a few other companies for it, and the Lionforge thing kind of just like right place, right time sort of thing really like worked out. It just kind of clicked at the time. I got in contact with one of the editors over there, Hazel, and I was like, hey, you know, here's this thing me and my friend want to do. And she's like, oh my God, this is perfect. This is like exactly what we're looking for, which is crazy. So it's just that thing you tell, I think they say with like success, it's like so much like luck is attributed to it. Mm-hmm. But I think it's just also just all these amazing comics and work that like all these awesome people are making for kids right now. And Art and Franco, like I wouldn't be doing this right now if Art and Franco didn't like, you know.
Yeah, they kind of paved the way recently in the last, you know, 15 years for kids comics, because they're like racking up Eisners and everything else. So
in the mainstream too, yeah.
Yeah, you know? And they got like their deal, their Kickstarter was huge because like everyone took notice, like all these other publishers took notice when that Kickstarter went above and beyond what they were asking for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that like helped, I think, you know, in a lot of ways, indirectly it helped everyone that was doing kids stuff at that time, because then people are like saw the success and they saw like that there was an audience that was hungry for that stuff. You know, like for the first time they were able to see like, wow, people are willing to spend money on this stuff. Because I know it's still true with DC and Marvel a little bit. They are leery of going that route still. And they'll do the Tiny Titans from time to time, but they're just like special. Now they're like special, like, you know, mini series that they'll just roll out, but they don't have them monthly anymore. But they, they're still like, you know, a lot of their bank comes from guys like our age that are still reading comics, which I think, you know, sooner or later they're going to have to start trying to rein in these kids. But I think their animated shows and stuff like that kind of take care of that audience for them.
I think recently though, DC is going to have some new imprint that's like for like YA. They're like hiring editors and stuff like that. So I think stuff like Gotham Academy and like Prez and books like that, I think they weren't like super hugely successful for them, but like kids love them, you know? And I think it's just a matter of just companies just getting in with the times and realizing that we're in this like renaissance of, you know, amazing books for younger audiences, because, and not even just creators, like we're able to do this because of, you know, librarians and teachers and publishers and conventions and everything like that. It's this whole just like really cool wave of like everybody kind of, I don't know, helping each other out, you know, and like comics are allowed in school now. Kids are encouraged, you know, to read comics in school, and libraries have amazing selections of comics and programming and stuff like that. I think it's just like we're in a really, really, really awesome time for the type of books that we already have been making and want to create. So I think we're just, I don't know, I feel like, at least for me, I'm just really lucky.
I mean, it's awesome. Like, I was talking to the librarian at my daughter's school, and I was telling her, and she knows because she's super into graphic novels and comics and stuff like that for all ages kids. It's the sneakiest way to get your kids to read.
Yep.
You know, like, hey, here's a comic book. They're like, oh, this is a lot of pictures. And as they go through, they're reading words and they're picking up the stories, and it's awesome. And I still get a kick out of it. Like, the fact that selling a Monty to a kid, they will tell me, oh, this is my first comic. And that's
crazy. Yeah. It's insane, right?
Because
it's like power. It's nuts.
Yeah. And it's cool because it's crazy. You know, you're opening up this amazing world, like you're the gateway, if you will, to this entire amazing world. And I took a lot of pride in that, and I still do. And I can tell that you guys are of that mind that like, hey man, we got to make these books the best they can be, because this is the next generation of kids. These are the next generation of comic book fans that are going to get this.
Like I said, I feel really kind of like lucky that there's an audience for this stuff, you know? And even if, you know, one kid reads a story I wrote,
it's
if
amazing.
It like makes him laugh, or he likes it, or if it encourages him to write a story or draw a comic or, you know, make a movie or something like that. That makes a huge difference. You know, when you think about when you're in school and they give you all these like things you're supposed to do, and here are these books you're supposed to read, and here's what you're supposed to do. The second you're able to be like, why don't you pick a book you want to read, or draw something you want to draw, or, hey, this is cool, this thing you made is really cool, I like this. It's like mind blowing for kids, you know? And
yeah.
Just being able to and encourage that stuff, because I don't know where I would be if I didn't have like weird stuff that like adults made that I liked. I don't know where I would be without like Ren and Stimpy or Mad Magazine or totally. Space Ghost, you know?
Yeah, the 90s was like an interesting time because you had a lot of cartoons that probably weren't really for kids, like Batman the Animated Series and Ren and Stimpy and all these shows, but that's kind of what inspired me and influenced me with like those. And then I grew up in the 80s too with like DuckTales and Tailspin.
Oh, there's nothing better than DuckTales. Yeah. I mean, and it still works, but I mean, that DuckTales cartoon is just based off the old comics, you know, from the 60s and 70s.
Yeah.
So it's just, it's cool to kind of see everything come back around, and now there's the new DuckTales that's amazing that everybody
But again, it's like stuff that you could tell these people are creating love. Like the people who wrote and drew and animated The Simpsons loved what they're doing. The guys who created Ren and Stimpy loved what they're doing. You know, I think there's just, again, it goes back to that sincerity of like creating something you really want to create instead of just like churning something out to sell, you know?
Yeah. You think this will turn to profit. So you go, all right, let's do an all ages book and see what happens.
No, like we just want to make like weird comics that make us laugh, you know? And like, I don't know. And it's cool. It's so rewarding when you create something that you're like, you are into, but like someone who you've never met enjoys it. It's insane. Like I will never not get used to that.
I mean, and it's still so much fun. Like, just, we met briefly at that library show in Ann Arbor.
I love it. I love that show.
Yeah, dude, I'll do that show every
year. Yeah, I love that show. It's such a great library and such a great vibe.
And such a great, I mean, just the group of kids there, they're just so hungry for comics.
Yeah.
And it's really nice to see, because I mean, so often, you know, kids are distracted by whatever the case may be at shows and the Popcos or whatever the hell it is. It's like, it was good to just see a group of kids amped on comics. And the parents being completely on board. Like there's nothing more frustrating to me than to see a kid at a show go over to a table and start flipping through a comic book and talking to the creator of the book, and the parent going, "Come on, let's go."
What
are you doing? Come on, let's go. It's like, dude.
That happens. Yeah.
We've experienced that. I do it all the time.
And I always say that's a bad parent. You're a bad parent. Because your kid wants to read and you're not letting.
Sometimes I'll just give the kid the comic in that situation.
Yeah.
Like, here, take it. Like, because you want it. And it's like, you know, and then sometimes they're still like, no, you got enough stuff. And it's like, it's just a comic. Like,
it's a book. Get your kid reading, dummy.
Yeah. But
giving kids comics is awesome though, because kids remember that stuff too. They'll be like, "Oh, you gave me this. Now I want to buy one because it was so cool that you gave me one. Now I want to buy one." So that's awesome too. You know, that's a really cool move.
Actually, at that show that me and Bob did, it was the Ann Arbor Comics Art Festival, which is just like this really cute and cool like comics like library like convention. You know, it's like 30 vendors, something like that, like 30 authors or whatever. And then there's a kid I met last year who was like super nice, and he like bought a bunch of comics, and he was just like super excited about reading, and he was just like really overwhelmed, but like really excited about reading. He came back this year and he literally, I'm going to get like emotional talking about this. He literally ran up to my table, was like, "I was looking everywhere for you. I was hoping that you were going to be here. I read all your comics." Like, he was just like, it was insane, but it was like, stuff like that makes all the monotonous moments in comics like worth it, knowing that like this little kid was just like so excited about like reading, and you know, like something you helped make was just really, really cool.
And then you sign the books. Yeah. Then you sign the books and he's like, "You're not Art Baltazar." Yeah.
And I jumped out the window. I just
That's the thing now. And the kids, like, when they want something, they want it. I had a kid read the Monty trade, and he came back to the table on the Saturday and he's like, "Where's the next one?" I'm like, "Dude, what are you like? You gotta give me time on this, buddy." He's like,
"That's your motivator, though, man." Yeah, when you know that, like, that one kid is waiting for your book. It's like,
wait till they start bringing you fan art of Monty if they haven't already. That's the coolest.
Right there, man. Right there. Like, it burns in your chest. You're like, "I don't want to cry in front of an 8-year-old, but I totally could." Yeah.
I'm getting that way, man. Like, that's always the thing I heard. Like, when you get older, you get more emotional. But like, I love comics so much, and like, it being a generational thing, like inspiring kids and like sharing that like love of comics, is like, I have moments at conventions where I'm like, I gotta take a second and like breathe, because it's like, it's just like a really nice and cool moment. But it's like,
I thought something else was wrong when you're doing that.
It could be, honestly, with me, it could be anything.
What, you got to like, poop? You got to poop?
David, yeah, he's like under the table. I'm like, you okay, dude?
He's got to poop. I know he's got to poop.
I'm just like shaking. Scoot just like puts a blanket over me.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah. Well, the book comes out, you said, in October, which is the perfect time for a book about a mummy to come out. Yeah. You can order that thing now. It is the diamond code is August 17, 1832. It is wrapped up. It's issue one from a Cub House Comics, the dudes over at Lion Forge. I think you guys are going to have a smash hit on your hands. I can't wait to pick this thing up at my local comic shop. And if you're listening to Word Bros and you can hear the sound of Kevin and I's voice, do yourself a favor. This book just isn't for kids. I mean, if you're into like silly and goofy humor, it's right up your alley. So go out and pick this thing up. It's going to be great.
Yeah, if you grew up in the 90s, I hope you'll dig it. 80s, 90s, it's got that type of humor. So
it really does. So Scoot and Dave, man, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having us, man. This is super, super fun.
And anytime, like when the trade's getting ready to drop or whatever, you got some new news or whatever, anything going on, when this thing blows up, you guys can come back and throw some dollars around and brag about how great you are. And we'll let you do it because you guys are awesome.
We'll get some pizzas. We'll deliver you guys. We'll get some pizzas for you guys.
Oh, I'm quoting you on that.
Pizza. Dude, do it.
I want 100%. Drawn pizzas. I don't want actual pizza. I want Scoot's drawn pizza. I want a commission pizza.
Yeah, yeah, I should have just put my camera down. I should have been drawing the whole time.
The drawn pizza.
Yeah,
pizza. Make the pizzas. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much, and we really appreciate it.
Yeah, it was good talking.
Thanks, guys.
All right, that was Dave and Scoot from the Lion Forge book called Wrapped Up. You can order that now at your comic shop. August 17, 1832 is the diamond code. Pick that book up, man. I'm telling you, that book, it's good. It's going to be big, dude. Just the artwork and the writing, it's very clever. It's very fun. It jumps off the page. It's a lot of fun. They did a really great job with that.
It gets a Word Bro stamp of approval. Yes. And that, if you don't buy it, you're a bad parent.
You are. And I believe I have said as much under my breath when parents are walking away from my table not buying books for me.
Well, I'm just saying you're a bad parent because there are people out there that listen to the pod that are parents and they're like, well, I don't know what to get my kids, so I'm getting them DC and Marvel stuff. Get them Wrapped Up or Monty the Dinosaur or Full Moon Fredo, because
it's fun too, because like you see the kid walking away from the table and like he just wants a comic. How much is that? $5, and the guy's holding a Starbucks coffee. It's like, dude,
costs as much as your coffee.
You can help your kid learn, but you don't care because you'd rather drink your expensive coffee. That's why your kid's gonna be a dummy.
Pumpkin spice latte or coffee, baby? Yep. Which one is it? Like, you got to cut a promo on them comics.
That's right, baby. But yeah, it was cool, man. Those guys are really great. I knew they'd be fun to have on. Like I said, I met Dave briefly in Ann Arbor, and he was just a really personable, really fun dude. And he just gets it, man. Like, he gets what kids' comics and what all ages comics should be. Like, they're just comics. They're comics that everybody can enjoy, that everybody can get down with. And I really dig that guy. I really dig those guys. So it was cool to have them on. So I wish them all the best, and we will definitely have them back. So.
Yes. So thank you again for listening to another episode of Word Bros. And if you like the show, we'd like to ask you to go to iTunes and leave a rating so we can like move up in the
ranking. You sound so professional now. You're like a real podcaster.
I'm getting there, dude. I'm learning from the best, baby. I'm taking that Bobby France School of Podcasting.
There you go. Rate and subscribe to the podcast. We're going to keep going. We're going to keep doing it.
We hope you guys like it, and if you do, please leave us a 5-star review. But you can leave us a 4-star review. We're not gonna complain about 4.
No. If you leave if you're gonna leave a 4-star review, don't even bother.
Really?
Wow. I don't want your 4-star review. That's
your 4-star.
You know what? A 4-star review for this podcast is a slap in the face, baby. I don't want nobody leaving no 4 stars. You can take your 4 stars and you can stick them where the sun don't shine, Jack, because this is the hottest podcast in the world today.
You're listening to the Word Bros Podcast, thewordbros.com.